You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Seven and a half minutes past the hour, and we are here. It is your old friends, the Rick and Bubba Show. Kickoff hour is also available to you. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, and Helmsy have just completed that. Blazing Silverman, Rick and Bubba University intern, ready to go and take your phone calls as he bangs out a degree in common sense, that now a superpower. Eddie Van Adler has settled in. He's got his little shop of horrors ready to go for you YouTubers out there, so you can watch live in the archives. Also a best of hour he puts together every day. Find that on Blaze TV and also some terrestrial TV stations across the land. Rick, where can I get all this information of all the different ways to get you guys? Go to rickandbubba.com. It's all there. So we got another action-packed day. We welcome our guests today. Fun's on Friday, so the Elite Grade 8 will be here. So we'll see some guests that will make their way to the Rick and Bubba Golden Ticket seats today. So that's a part of our experience as well. Looking forward to seeing all of you that are making your way to the No Name Studio right now, living with us on the bleeding edge of technology. And then you, too, can be with us here in Sweet Home, Alabama, as we go to the world. There he is, the silver tongue one. The man with the golden voice, professional lunch eater's man of the year, the inventor of pizza and a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the King's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussett!
Howdy, Bubba. How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere. It's cold outside, but come on in and warm up with Rick and Bubba.
It's a night away.
Go dancing, Bubba.
You bet it.
Go dancing.
Yeah, how about you?
Well, I seen So we got a lot to unpack on the show today. I want to tell you this, and I'm going to start this hour by addressing one Michael Helms. Helmsy. I don't, you know,
what'd I do?
I know you pretty well. Spent a lot of years with you now, son. And I know you, and I know what you like, and you don't need to miss Dayton Moore this weekend on Rick and Bubba University. It's like Dayton Moore is just, you'll be getting two spoonfuls of Dayton Moore.
I figured I would.
And yeah. I'm not just talking about baseball.
Okay.
Just his whole philosophy on things and how he runs a team and things they're looking for, his days in the scouting organization for the Braves during the big run. And the things
and he ran the Royals for 16 years. Right?
Yeah, things he's looking for in people. If you're going to be part of the team, it is a love Michael that. Helms. I mean, if you're,
I told Speedy yesterday,
it's a Michael Helms podcast.
I told him, I said I will be all in on this one.
Here's what I'm going to go this far because you'll be able to stop it and start it and all that because either on the audio or the YouTube version of it, you get out a notebook. And you'll write down some phrases, and if you go back to putting quotes in your office again, there'll be some on there.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
me too well. Look, the whole time I'm doing like, oh, Ham's gonna love it.
And one of the things we talked about was something I'd always been very curious about, the actual working relationship between the owner, the GM, and the manager.
That was good.
And who's doing what, and how much, and you know, it obviously would vary from club to club, but. It was very insightful from somebody who's been at the desk and done it.
Also, I had a Brian Regan moment. Remember when Brian Regan talked about how bad he was at baseball and all the coach would ever say to him is, good eye, Brian.
Yeah.
And he would go, well, thank you. But it happened to me. So I was happy for Bubba to begin with because Bubba asked a question. It's the first time he did it in the podcast. He goes, you know, that's a really good question. And, of course, Bubba and I have this thing where we look at you and go,
oh, yeah.
Like, and, well, then I started realizing after that he said that to Bubba a couple times and me a couple times. I thought, oh, wow, that's just one of the ways he encourages people. You know, the first time he said, that's a really good question. I thought, well, thank you.
Yeah.
But then I realized, well, he's just an encourager. Yeah.
He's a very engaging person.
Right, yeah.
I picked that up the minute he and Speedy, within 2 minutes of them talking, just an introduction. Speedy's never really talked to him. Mm-mm. he was asking about Speedy's kids. He wanted to know every single thing about them, where they're playing, what they're doing now. Gave you a ton on the one that's not playing. You could tell he was so intentional about what he was doing. And guys like this mean it.
Yeah.
You could tell he was sincere in what he was doing.
Well, he didn't ask the question and then like start like messing with paper and not paying attention.
Right. Yeah.
He was like, he asked the question and actually was looking
into
the screen.
He was so intent about what he was doing.
Yeah. So anyway,
love guys like that.
Well, you know, just the 14 years, the run, the divisional championship at the Braves, he was there. Went on to be the GM and then the president of baseball operations, as Bubba said, at the Royals for 16 years. Took them to the World Series 2 years in a row. They won it. And he talks about all that building and how that happens. He made one statement that I wish I could pull out, and there's so many people that needed to hear it, so many. And I would include a lot of your modern-day churches needed to hear what he said because they're doing the opposite right now, and it's going to cost them.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was talking about what he did when he got there and what he made sure that was part of the organization. And, I mean, I guess I'd go ahead and say it.
Well,
but I'm trying to encourage you to go and watch and listen to it. But
yeah, I know what my Saturday morning coffee looks like now. I can tell you that.
Let me tell you, it was so good. There were questions I wanted to ask that I didn't get to.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about them yesterday. I wanted to ask if he was there while – sorry, Greg, don't let us bother you. if he was there when Rush worked for the organization.
I thought about the same thing, but I didn't say
and, it. And he, I guess he would have been there when Bo played for him, right?
Yeah, I don't know because he said he got there in 2006. So that would be past Rush because Rush is already on the air now. So that would be a no.
Way past
and,
Bo,
and it probably
too.
Wouldn't be a Bo.
Bo, too. It would be after that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'll
tell
you
good.
This.
That's one reason I didn't ask.
Yeah. Talking about being intentional listening to it. Helmsy, we promoted it during the kickoff hour. I got an email from a guy said his Saturday morning is going to be listening to the podcast while hanging on side of a tree hunting in hardwood.
You don't even have to like baseball to get something out of it.
Yeah, that's good.
Matter of fact, the baseball was not as big a part of it as the rest of it.
Well, you just don't get access to a GM for Major League Baseball who, like I said, done it 16 years, went to the World Series and won it. You know, Sheerholtz, we had him on the show one day, but we were able to talk more about the business yesterday, and it was a lot of fun.
It was great. So catch that this weekend. Rick and Bubba University, our guest, Dayton Moore, who a lot of years in Major League Baseball. We also found out, though, that Dayton Moore is just like a lot of folks. After doing all those great things, they fired him after 16 years.
Yeah.
So
a little out of the blue.
Well, that happens.
And they got a good team.
Yep. 15 minutes past. More Rick and Bubba coming up.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Let's talk about this topic, Allegiance Gold. We just had a conversation about this on the show. And one of the things that we were talking about was the gold standard. Do you remember that? You know, precious metals.
And Rick, this is something you can hold.
Yeah, this is
something. And it's rather heavy.
Yeah, and all the uncertainty of currency, now more than ever. Now, did you know this, Bubba? And, of course, you can see it if you got your latest update from wherever you have your IRA or your 401k. But also, a report just recently came in that American household net income, okay, this is how bad it is out there right now, has dropped by over $6 trillion. Now that's just in the second quarter of the year. That's the most, hear me now, that's the most on record. We already know the administration is doing everything in their power to keep you in the dark till what? After we get through. Midterms was part of it, so you're about to start seeing some of it because they were doing it trying to get to the midterms. Then you're going to see them keep you in the dark till we get to the next presidential election because they're going to do everything they can to keep us from looking down at just basic information going, this administration is destroying my finances. So what you need to do is there's nothing you can do about that. You can't control the Biden administration unless you get enough momentum to vote them out. But what you can do is that you can protect the consequences of their policies. And one of the ways to do that is to get Allegiance Gold to give you some expertise and help you protect your IRA or your 401k with physical gold and silver or, and I'm telling you, I may be getting more in this camp, have it delivered securely right to the door. Allegiance Gold has some of the highest ratings in the industry. Go to protectwithrickbubba.com. Get the best offer yet, up to $2,500 of free silver. on a qualifying purchase when you tell them Rick and Bubba sent you. Now, you can also call them, 844-790-9191, or go to protectwithrickbubba.com.
Get Silverman to shine him up a little better. Put a little more wax on him.
A little wax on him.
He's already pretty shiny, but by the way, it hurt to have his good winter coat on.
No, you're right. I wasn't prepared either for the fact that I knew that Helmsy was trying to help with the spill that Speedy had from Buffalo Wild Wings on Wednesday. Was not prepared for the level of commitment to clean that up in there.
Yeah, thank you, Hams, for doing that.
Hams, you're having a banner day.
Well, now he's already looking out in the lobby, and I'm like, stop spot here. Out in the lobby.
There needs to be tended to.
There were some spots even before this week.
Yeah,
I got those.
Yeah,
we got them.
Who would have ever thought
that's an awesome machine you got.
Ask me what I thought about them. Who would have ever thought that if you brought piles and piles of food, set them on a conference table in a carpeted room, that bad things would happen?
I would just announce to the staff. I do want to make this announcement to the staff. If you have a stain in your office or you know of a stain in this
today's
the day because I have strict orders from Amanda to bring it back.
Oh, you have to bring it back.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know we're going to do it again.
You have to bring it back.
I'm looking around right now.
Because you know all the ladies, they want to get all the stains cleaned up before the Thanksgiving week.
That's what this is all about.
You should probably hit the rug before you leave. Just get it a good one over.
I will. That's a good idea.
Yeah. See if you can clean Greg up.
That's good, Rick.
Wow, Rick, it's early.
Few spots in my office, if you don't mind running it
okay.
for a minute.
I got you.
I stepped on a raspberry.
Oh.
In there?
In here.
No, we'll take care of it.
I mean, I tracked it all around.
The least of worries is the carpet.
I was going to say, that room, I'd like to see you straighten up everything in there.
You going to go clean his office next?
I'll clean the carpet if you'll clean up the space.
By the way, I'd like to say to all of you, try to go find one cafeteria that has carpet.
Yeah, it's not a good mix.
Not a good mix.
You guys,
Rick,
have
even industrial grade.
Yeah. You guys have a flea bomb too. I could use one of those. Okay. just hypothetically speaking.
How about when that fell? I was so upset with myself.
Rick, it blew all over
his
shoes and everything.
Yeah, I heard
it
that this
sprayed.
He hid that from me. I didn't hear that.
Oh yeah, no, I've had to actually take the laces out of my shoe and wash them. The sauces was a barbecue sauce. And so they brought a bunch of them. Yeah. They're so kind. And I'm getting them all up to throw them away. And there was one of the caps that wasn't on all the way. So when I picked it up, the cap was in my hand. And then the
kaplunk.
Yeah, it goes. There it goes.
Oh, no.
And
sprayed on the chairs, the leg of the chairs, up under the chairs. I'm wiping that off. And I thought it was just going to be in that one spot. Well, then I start seeing it sprayed, okay? It sprayed all over the carpet in little spots.
Yeah.
And you just look at it and you go, well, where do you start? How do you even start cleaning this up? And we didn't have anything, so I went water bottle with napkins that came apart when they got wet.
Yeah, they were heavy duty.
You know, and just tried to really soak it, and it set for a day. Came back the next day. It was unacceptable. It just looked bad. So I'm glad Helmsy got that.
I didn't know what it was. I left for the bathroom. I came back, and there's just junk everywhere. And I'm like, what's all this going on? Speedy comes out. He's like, look, man, I'm trying to clean it up. It was so funny. Now, I didn't know it got your shoes.
The whole time, ruined Helmsy them. Is in his office, and Rick is in his office. Bubba had left. Greg was in here. And
if
they're,
I'd have known,
they're oblivious that I'm on my hands and knees
so
like Cinderella trying to pick it up.
I'm so glad
matter of fact,
know.
Rick, I came out of my office at one point. He was in his office. I had to take him something. I said, hey, what happened out here on the carpet? I didn't know that 10 minutes before that he was out here on his hands and knees.
Yeah, we didn't know, buddy.
I had no clue.
We didn't know, buddy.
You know when something's on a carpet and you don't know, where do you start? How do you even get this?
Well, I'll tell you.
I went paper plate and tried to scoop.
The first thing is to let
scoop. I tried to scoop some of it up, you know?
The first thing to do is let your pet dog come and clean
it. Yeah, oh, boy, if they're here, they'd lick that.
How about we, one thing, and I don't know really, I need to try to remember, I mean, any of us could do it. We do need to remember, though. And you were in this situation, we need, and we're not really set up the way we were before, but we need a roll of, and multiple rolls of paper towels.
Most definitely.
I'm going to resolve that today. I found some.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah, and I'm even going to bring some old rags from the garage and just have them in here.
Because
I know where they keep them now.
Now he's bringing rags.
I'm going to bring them.
Call them paper towel drive.
Greg, let somebody that cares care.
That's a good point. Well, here's the other, because I'm going to tell you something, and this may surprise y'all. Once we went with the polished cement downstairs, that was kind of the end of that because I finally gave up the battle. But when we had this same type of carpet, if you have that in a downstairs area where your kids play and everybody whatever, you'll learn how to blot. I'm a master blotter.
Oh, yeah.
And blot's key.
But you got to have something
because that way it doesn't get down into the carpet.
Yep.
You grab what's on
blot,
top
blot,
and then
blot.
You wet.
paper towels or a towel, and you blot, and you pressure, and you blot. Mm-hmm. You don't start scrubbing.
No.
And you blot it, and that pulls it back up out of there.
Rick, a wet, dry, portable shop vac will do wonders.
Well, there's a dandy one right around the corner.
Yeah, the old steamer got it up.
Hey, I didn't know that you and your family has a show enough good one.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, that's a nice one.
Yeah, that's a steamer. It puts
three
water
kids
in,
and two dogs, you need
out.
It.
Yeah, can
you
I rent that for
that's
you?
Stanley level. Yeah.
What do you charge to rent it?
Yeah, it's nice.
Could you clean that's my downstairs for the holidays?
No.
You can rent them at the grocery store.
Can you really?
Yeah, you can.
You used to could.
I think how big a hassle getting it and taking it back?
Big hassle.
Okay, I'm out.
It's no bigger hassle than me bringing it in here. It's not that big deal.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it just is it better to go ahead and bite the bullet and just have your own?
Oh, well, yeah, that depends on how much you use it. But we use it more than you would think we do.
Terry loves
not really. What you just said to me, of course you use
well,
it.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
I would also like to announce to the staff, someone is continuing to eat half meals and just leaving them. Just, I'm talking
it's
about
not me.
Plates
smoothie,
there.
That's me.
But just leave
but
them there.
At the end of the day, I'll throw it away.
Do you?
Do
yeah,
you?
I do. Or sometimes I throw it. I'm getting my omelet out, and I'm in a hurry. But when we do the final clean, I'm not going to leave it there
saying.
Overnight.
Okay.
Okay. All right, good.
I was afraid
that's not
was
my
me.
Intent anyway. Yeah.
When you,
well, no, it's
not
what
just
have I done
that,
now?
No, well, there is others that besides that, but it's just, I don't know. We get busy, and I guess we just walk away.
But I wouldn't leave here with that sitting on the table.
Yeah.
But it's funny, and Sherry will warn all of you about that. I know you're the same thing. Is if there's something that you want to take with you, you better get it, because I'm a purger.
Yeah.
And so what I do is when I look around and everybody's gone and there's food still there, I throw it all away.
Yeah.
I'm a purger.
This is a wrapper.
Oh, if Sherry Burgess would turn me loose,
there
was we wouldn't have anything.
Oh, there was a bag. There was a bag of. Yeah, I think I'm free and clear. There was a bag of something in our garage this morning that 3 weeks ago I said, you got 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's still there this morning. Do you know where it's at right now? In the garbage can.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this.
Take a sip.
Matter of fact, and it sounds like
it was
you're this,
sip worthy.
Sounds like you're this way too, Helmsy. What's the name of the complete opposite end of the spectrum of a purger? That's what I am.
Hoarder.
Whatever that is. No.
Oh, wait.
The other end. Like I throw everything away.
Yeah.
So what would that be called?
A purger is
a purger.
No, I'm sorry. I meant a hoarder. So is it a purger? I be a purger?
Yeah. Your hoarders keep everything for no reason.
So the other end of the spectrum is what I was asking. I said it wrong. It would be a purger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And a purger will get rid of stuff sometimes before it really needs to.
I'm definitely a purger.
They'll end up needing something they threw away.
I'm 100%
absolutely.
A purger. I cannot stand
clutter. And I've run into that too.
I cannot stand clutter. Clutter drives me insane.
My wife is a mover. Mm-hmm. She'll move things and not let anybody know. So you think it's been purged, but really it's just been moved.
Okay. Also, the purger, we hear this a lot. Somebody walk in. I was eating that.
Right, yeah.
And it's gone.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
I wasn't through.
That's me.
Purged.
Yeah. When you rent one of those steam cleaners.
I'm a purger.
When you rent one of those steam cleaners, the cleaning solution is not included.
Oh,
so you'll go home and start
and
then realize it. And then you'll have to go back. And it's $19.
Oh, that's how
that
they get
hurts.
You. That's how they get you.
I'd rather have a stain. I'd rather just have a stain.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I don't have a big stain.
I'm back over in Hamsey's world. That's better just to have one. Yeah. It hurts. And I've got generic cleaner that costs half that.
Pays for itself pretty quick, I bet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rick and Bubba.
All right, so, Bubba, I will tell you this. I'm going to do my best to stay engaged on this FTX thing.
No, it's
so overwhelming.
It's really not that good a story.
I don't understand any of this cryptocurrency
and
stuff.
And Adler has gone out
Thank
of his
you,
way
Adler.
To give us a cheat
Well, you know,
sheet
he knows the most about crypto than any of us in here.
Well, here's the thing. It is a cryptocurrency
sort of
company. Okay. And they have left a lot of people hanging for a lot of money, and the guy that was running it, Sam Bankman, which is odd that his name would be Bankman.
They're really odd.
He's resigned and retreated to the Bahamas, and of course the FBI is trying to run him down now. I don't know why the delay in getting him. I feel like if he had been a big contributor to the Republicans, they would have raided his house in the middle of the night with people jumping out of helicopters.
Yep.
Like they did the Trump guys. But that is the thing. This guy donated $30 million to the Democrats in this last election cycle, second only to Warren Buffett, and had promised a whole lot more for the next round. But, Rick, this is this thing about crypto. They're selling make-believe money.
Right.
Okay? It's not even monopoly money, because monopoly money is printed on a piece of paper. And I know there's a bunch of people that's fired up about the New World Order and crypto and all that because it's a consumer based currency. Mm-hmm. But and look, for all the wrongs that the Federal Reserve makes and the United States, and I know we got inflation now and all that, but as long as we have a battleship floating somewhere, that dollar is going to mean something, you know. It's never going to go totally away.
Right. Well, let me – I know we left the gold standard, but still.
We couldn't have grown the economy. No. That's the reason they did that. Now, I like having something to back up the dollar. But, again, there was going to be a limit because there was only so much gold, and, you know, there's probably a debate how much we really got. I'd love to tour Fort Knox. I've been to the gate before, but I've never been in there. Best view I had was during the movie Goldfinger, right. James Bond.
So, Adler, you may help us here. Looking at all the things you had here, and I will list this, crypto, Bubba, you have already pointed out, I'm going to try to get down to see student Calhoun County. This FTX guy, which seems like to me this Sam Bankman, I mean, he looks like a stoner, okay, and he's hiding in his penthouse in the Bahamas. As you said, Bubba, he funded a lot of the Democratic Party's candidates.
$30 million more.
So, he got people to give him their money. Goes back, you know, and then he pretended that he had a currency that it looks like it didn't even really ever exist. You see things like the crypto deposited by customers weren't even recorded on the balance sheet.
It was run like a lemonade stand. That's the problem. Right. I mean, if you're going to do a cryptocurrency,
no cash management system.
Yeah, you've got to run it like a bank.
Right.
And he was running it like a lemonade stand. He was, they were making loans to him, and I mean the hedge fund that they operated loaned him $1 billion. Rick loaned him $1 billion.
Right. And so that goes back to this. It's almost like what the Chrisleys did. In another way, you get people to loan you real money, pretending you have something you don't really have.
Yes, it's like a street shell game in New York.
Right, and does he not know eventually that this would happen? Because this can't go on.
Well,
I don't want us to be critical of number four. FTX, a company valued at $32 billion, never had board meetings. Now let's not be critical of that.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, let's not be critical of that. Well, I'm gonna tell you.
One man's board meeting is another man's fishing trip.
Right. I'm gonna just be so transparent right now. I have been, thankful and it is kind over the years to be asked whether I wanted to be on certain boards and things like that. The only board that I am still on, I think, is one that has allowed me to be part of it, but I don't have to come to any meetings. And I'm not making that up.
You're on one I know of.
Yeah, am I? I'm on another one?
Yeah, you're on the Rick and Bubba Inc. board.
Are we a board?
Yeah.
I thought we were just
have that.
Well, we've never met about anything.
Well, Rick, we have. One man's board meeting is another man's fishing.
Well, we meet every day.
You're right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, it sounds like the two boards I'm on, both have given me the same arrangement. You know what I mean? But if there's one that starts requiring me to come to a bunch of meetings, I'm out. I just can't do it.
Well, we're not big meeting people.
No, so let's not be critical.
I mean, sometimes you need to plan. I got that. But, you know, there's so much other you can do during the day.
Now, I don't mind going to meetings where we make decisions. That I like.
Right.
But
you don't see that a lot.
No, there's not a lot of that out there. So they had no cash management system. They didn't keep any proper records of who they employed. Certain employees can't even be located, which could mean they were fake. Records, very few. Most decisions were made over chat with messages automatically deleted after a certain time. You talked about the loans they got.
Here's the thing, and this is where the story and why it's become a story. John Ray III is the new CEO of this bankrupt cryptocurrency firm. He was probably appointed by a judge to do that because he has experience in this. Mm-hmm. He also took over Enron when it was in a disaster. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that this company is in much worse shape than Enron ever was, and the crimes committed are much worse than Bernie Madoff did. And he said this is the biggest financial disaster he's ever seen.
Yeah, it's more money than Enron.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot more.
It's a, so this is a bigger deal than
and,
Enron.
And then the question has come about, why and where did the regulatory system break down on this? And this is where it becomes political. They're saying, well, he was donating $30 million to the Democrats, so the Democrats in charge made sure that no one ever looked at him. And that's where it's going to become political and get real nasty.
Oh, man.
That will end up being the story.
Yeah, you're right, it will.
But yeah. You have to wonder, you have a group here that never met, that raised literally billions of dollars selling something that doesn't exist.
Right.
Now, somebody help me with that.
Well, I will tell you, from some of the other things I've seen, this has become quite popular.
Yeah. And the whole point of the blockchain and cryptocurrency is that everybody has a ledger that everyone can look at, and it's all documented on the blockchain.
Theoretically.
And so they went against all of that, and, right. And it melted down totally.
Top of the hour, and now he's holed up in his penthouse in the Bahamas. Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
But
just like people that
we gotta be grown-ups about what we're doing and how we're doing it, because unfortunately I'm afraid we have a bunch of textbook libs that are trying to dictate life here in this country, and it's they're just not realistic. I mean, there's grown-up things in the world that have to happen, and sometimes they don't want to hear it, so they ignore it. And so this was a little package that I texted you guys yesterday that PragerU produced.
Yeah.
And it backs up some of the things we've been talking about. Now, I don't have a problem with electric cars. I've rode in several. I've drove. I wouldn't mind having one. That's not the point of this. The point is how we're going about trying to change this, and is it too fast, and can we do it? And I've even asked one of my very top-notch electric car consultant to monitor this and give me his input on
it. And also, don't forget, when you're hearing things like 2035 and this PragerU does a tremendous job with these presentations.
Yeah, very good.
Sherry Burgess is the biggest PragerU fan on the planet. And the reason why is they do what we try to do, and that is to say, let me break this down to something that a C student from Calhoun County could understand and follow. And this is important for you to be informed, like Bubba's saying, because there's propaganda going on this green movement that they are not telling you the whole story, and they're pretending that we are in a place that we just aren't, and you need to know about the limitations of solar, wind, and the things that we need in order to have everybody in an electric car. So it's unpacked by PragerU. Pay attention. It's really straightforward, really easy to follow. And you need this information when people are telling you things that just aren't true. Here we go.
What we need to do, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is expand the power that we have on the grid. When we talk about 2035, many years out, mm-hmm. that all new cars are going to be
from
EVs, we're also assuming a much different infrastructure. And there are some pressures being put, and there's a lot of money in that recent bill to say we're going to get more chargers, we're going to get more solar panels, we're going to get more incentives for people to do this. And so there is the assumption, but it's still an assumption, that we will have a much more strong, powerful grid to plug into.
Wind and solar will power the world of tomorrow. And tomorrow isn't far off.
It's time to wake up. You're having a dream. Here's the reality. Oil, natural gas, and coal provide 84% of all the world's energy.
That's a lot.
That's down just 2 percentage points from 20 years ago. And oil still powers nearly 97% of all global transportation. Contrary to headlines claiming that we're rapidly transitioning away from fossil fuels, it's just not happening. 2 decades and $5 trillion of governments investing in green energy, and we've barely moved the needle. This was supposed to be easy. Why is it so hard? In a word, rocks. To get the same amount of energy from solar and wind that we now get from fossil fuels, we're going to have to massively increase mining by more than 1,000%.
Yeah.
This isn't speculation. This is physics. Copper, iron ore, silicon, nickel, chromium, zinc, cobalt, lithium, graphite, and rare earth metals like neodymium. We need them all. And then those metals and materials have to be turned into motors, turbine blades, solar panels, batteries, and hundreds of other industrial components. That also takes lots of energy, which requires even more mining. As a World Bank study put it, these green technologies are in fact significantly more material intensive than our current energy mix. That may be the understatement of the century. Raw materials account for 50 to 70% of the costs to manufacture both solar panels and batteries. Until now, it hasn't really mattered that much because wind and solar still account for only a few percentage points of the global energy supply. They're an applause line for environmentalists, not a major energy player, and it's unlikely they will be in the foreseeable future. But for the sake of argument, let's say we sharply ramp up mining. Where would these new mines be located? Well, for one, China. That country is today the single largest source of most of our critical energy materials. The United States is not only a minor player, but is dependent on imports for 100% of 17 critical minerals. Do we want to give China more political and economic leverage? Europe has made itself dependent on Russia for 40% of its natural gas. How well has that worked out? Ironically, we have all the minerals we need right here in North America.
Of course.
But good luck trying to get them out of the ground. Proposals to build mines in the United States and increasingly almost everywhere else meet fierce opposition, if not outright bans.
So there you go.
What we really need to do, and we...
Here's if you want to take it and get it even more simplified, and that's what I did after watching this, and the guy did a great job of laying it out. We are saying that we're going to move away from these fossil fuels to a new green energy that will require all these elements to be mined while we refuse to do any mining, and we're not going to mine for the things we would need to do it. We're going to let China do it, even though we would have the ability to do it ourselves. So we're trying to go to an energy that's going to require things that we will not allow ourselves to actually get.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Good. Rick, when you just look at petroleum,
it's going to be more mining, 1,000% increase to be able to do what they want to do by 2035.
You know, we hear no new drilling, no new this, no new that. The government's playing games with this. If you listen to the people that run the oil organizations, that even where they're opening up for drilling, they're creating, it's real hard to get a lease to even drive the oil over land to get it to places where it can be refined. And that's how they're getting it. I mean, they're just throwing up roadblocks everywhere while they're telling everybody, oh yeah, we're giving leases. But they're throwing, you know, sabotage in the system all the way to the gas pump. But even if you don't need it for gas, and we've talked about this, depending on whose numbers you want to play with, 40 to 60% of every barrel of oil goes to plastics. You have to have that to make plastic.
Yep.
And plastics are a big part of electric cars and electric batteries. I mean, you can't, Rick, it's crazy. It's like, you know, we're gonna make a cake, but we're not allowed to go to the grocery store. I mean, how do you do that?
No, that's exactly what they've set up. And so understand, too, that when you hear all this stuff that sounds good and makes you want to support certain parties and candidates, they're throwing around this green stuff to you. But this researcher said, if you will look, and the World Bank says it, too, you can research it for yourself. We have only moved away from fossil fuels about 2%.
For all that money we've invested over the last 20 years.
Trillions. And 97% of the transportation needed to move things is still on fossil fuel. And the way that we produce fossil fuel is a simpler process than what it's going to take to move to solar, wind, and electric. And 17 of the minerals that you need to provide the thing for these things to be manufactured, we won't allow you to mine in North America.
So you're going to depend on
China. So now this increase of 1,000% on mining, which we demonize, of course, is mainly either going to be somewhere else or we're going to have to mine here while spending how that we've got one political party that treats mining like it's evil, but yet we're going to have to mine even more if we're going to move to solar, wind, and batteries.
Yes.
Greg, I was Looking around yesterday, I'd heard you mention this and I'd forgotten about it. And I was trying to find you yesterday because I know that's your long day on Thursday. And all of a sudden I remembered, and Speedy told me, you know, Greg's at the Thanksgiving play extravaganza.
Well, you know, I got three grandkids, one on the way, but they're all young. So this is the first time that we've got to go to something like this. Ellis goes to school a couple of days a week, you know, getting started. He's three. He'll be four in January. But anyway, so they have Thanksgiving, like I said, but this is the first one we've had as grandparents. And you never know what's going to happen. You don't know if they're going to withdraw.
Yep.
The reactions, there's a bunch of kids up there. Some of them were dancing like crazy. Some of them were crying.
I love it.
Some of them were hung in a stare.
So they either melt down or they're all in.
Exactly.
And there's always that it's usually a boy that sticks his tongue out everybody the whole time.
Absolutely.
Up there.
Had that. But anyway, so and it's kind of long. You probably got to watch the whole thing, but it's just funny. Put it this way, he was not the one just standing there.
Okay, so this is Ellis right here. Those of you that may have never seen Ellis, so do I need audio? Yeah. So here. Greg.
Wait till he sees his reflection behind him.
He's getting all
watch
in.
Yes, here it comes, Rick.
Okay.
Look, he's doing two. Watch, he gets his fingers mixed up.
Yeah, okay,
I'm getting a little nervous at this point.
He's trying to get his two. He learned something from
that's what I was afraid of.
He was learning something from Papa. Greg, him trying to get his fingers right. Look what he learned from Papa. All right, so
here we go.
Now we're moving around.
Yeah, he starts kicking.
We're back.
So is that a turkey they're doing there?
I think it's a squirrel.
Oh, we got one.
Greg! He crashed into the wall.
Yeah.
I know, look now, there's a showstopper up front.
I see the showstopper up front.
She's really dancing hard.
Boy, we just.
Look, there's showstopper.
Yeah, and then look at crying behind her. Look, screaming.
Yeah, there's one crying.
Yeah, another one crying.
You can have that.
Where they're singing 2x2 about the ark.
Oh, yeah. 2x2. Okay.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Ellis can't quite get his two right. So he's got to one. No, there's two. There's a good two.
He's kind of
watching
that young
one. Oh, he
tipped his hat into the reflection.
He sees his reflection. He's making faces.
You see him tip his hat to his reflection?
Yeah.
He loved it. It was great. It was better than I thought it would be.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Listen, every now and then, I've got a bunch of different footage, but at one point, he's kicking so high, just kicking.
Yeah.
It is just hilarious. Yeah.
Golly, the fact that he gives himself a tip of the hat.
Yeah, he sees himself and he gives him a tip.
He kept trying to get that two right. He finally got it down.
Yeah. I was a little nervous.
Well, it looked like Papa taught him something.
Yeah. You know, he threw the first one up and it was good. Then he tried to, I don't know
what. Oh, look, there's the tip of the hat.
Speedy's
trying to kill you. It's official.
I know.
All right, so the elite grade eight have been kind enough to bring some delicious food today.
Yes, they have. We got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, by the way, did you meet the woman from Maryland?
Yeah, sure.
We got the seafood deep
Maryland crab dip.
Yeah,
had Maryland shrimp.
Yeah, come on.
All kinds of Maryland stuff.
Up far left over here. Right there.
Bubba, she brought the kind of shrimp you like.
Oh, yeah. She resides now in Bama, but she's from Maryland.
Oh. So we got some
taste banner
of
day,
Maryland.
Buddy.
The taste of Maryland.
Also, I walk real slow when you go past these two from Harpersville because it's a speed trap right there.
Even like that?
I'll get you for going over 10. Yeah.
But he didn't deny it. He said, absolutely.
Has they got y'all before?
Yeah,
a long time.
You learned, didn't you, buddy?
They got me.
Greg, they got you coming back from hunting one time.
Yeah. They got Taylor not too long ago.
Well, we need to go to speed limit. That's what they're teaching us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Bubba, one of them was a
– Childersburg got me.
One was a chocolate – so we have some chocolate cake today with
– Boy, do
is that,
we.
Is that Reese Cups on the top of it?
It appears, Rick. Yeah. Yes,
and,
it appears.
And it seems like Speedy has cut a piece for Bubba in hopes that he'll die.
He wanted a piece. It's a chocolate peanut butter cake.
It looks like a set of chocks at your chocolate truck.
I told him, I said, what am I supposed to stop the trailer with this?
Right.
Yeah, get that chunk box out.
It won't roll back.
Yeah, that's good, Greg.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, look, you don't have to eat it all. But I didn't want to give you a small one, and then you'd be like, man, where is it?
I know it's a bit with you, but I always eat it all.
Well, you don't have to.
You know, I was taught to clean my plate as a kid.
Right.
Carry that with
you. Bubba, I honestly don't know that you can clean that one. That might be impossible.
Yeah, look, just eat that plate.
I'm not going to do it to show y'all I can do it because I'm trying to do a little better, but I could do it.
You see the little. If you were to consume that big a piece of chocolate cake with all the different sweets that are tied to that cake, the shock to your system is concerning to me.
Anything with a Reese's cup.
Rick, I could sleep it off.
Yeah.
But this won't be my fault. He asked me to cut him.
Well, it's one, it's a big cake.
No, Speedy, no, that's like going up to Rick James and saying, don't do all of this cocaine.
Well, that is exactly like it.
Well, we went with Rick James.
That's so good.
Thanks for that, Rick.
Just do part of it.
It's a really tall cake, so even if you just cut a little section, it still looks like a big piece.
You know, I mean, that's don't a cake. Be like this. Yeah.
Well, he didn't have to eat it. He's grown.
Right. Well, I go back to Adler's point again. I go back to Adler's point again.
It's the only way I can justify giving him a piece. Let me play it out.
You remember that time I took that guy out to a country restaurant for a meet and three and didn't know that he'd. That he once weighed 400 pounds.
Well, yeah. That was a bad day.
And I didn't know that. And
then Took him weeks to get over that.
He went off the wagon bad.
Have you had a bite, Bubba?
Hmm? Mark, what are you doing? Well, the good news, the good news is he might need a little bigger piece of cake because he hadn't had breakfast yet. Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you getting the little Reese's cup off there embedded into the
chocolate? Of course he did.
I ain't got time for lunch today, so I'll just, you know, I'll front load.
Here we go.
Not the famous front load.
Bubba, if you start eating at 5
a.m.
and stop at 10, you don't need lunch.
That's okay, Bubba. Just
a lot
look.
Of days I don't eat lunch.
Know that I love you. I'm not sure about Speedy.
I know, I do love him. That's why I cut him a piece. Yeah.
So you take alcoholic to a bar. That's how you love him?
He asked me to cut him a piece, and so I cut him a piece of cake. That's it.
We just want Bubba to be happy.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? His running buddy ought to have. I'm going to get Greg a piece.
Do you realize how hard it is to be happy if you're not alive?
I know. Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
But spiritually, you would be in eternity and perfection if you've been
even
redeemed.
Better.
If you've been redeemed. Now, if you haven't, it's going to be a tough ride. But the
sure is good, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Now he's bringing me in.
Hey, let me have.
Well, Greg, there's plenty for you over there on that.
Bubba,
side.
Won't
I'm
you
work my way out?
Bubba, won't you let me have that piece? I'll put it up and let's cut you a regular piece.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just eat part of that.
Rick, he's front loading.
Doom.
It's a very tasty cake. The kind was made by your mother.
It is a chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake. Look what kind of piece he gave.
Now he's gonna be a smart aleck. Running buddy got him a little piece. Running buddy got him just a tiny little piece.
That's perfect, Speedy. Thank you.
You are unbelievable.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
very much.
Yeah,
it is really good. Solid.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Did you not want a piece?
You ought to eat some crab dip and then eat. It's really good.
Ooh, oh, yeah. He'll get into that because he's not going to have lunch today. He's got a front load.
I may not eat for 2 or 3 days.
Front load.
You know, you can
it's all the numbers.
You know, when you're front loading, you can have too much weight.
you want me to take it from you now? Since
no,
just leave it right there.
It'd be new.
Leave her alone.
Look, it's whatever. I just don't like Speedy doing that.
What's
that? I think if you want to go get another piece, it needs to start out with a regular piece.
We're good.
But he can eat half of it. He's not a child.
I know, but that's
Did y'all see Nancy Pelosi's not running for re-election to leadership for the Demos?
Right.
Yeah,
her out. And Steny Hoyer.
See, she finally broke her addiction of being in charge.
Well, by force.
Yeah. She wasn't going to go away if she wasn't forced out. That's why you got to force them out.
How is it, Greg?
Excellent.
See, at least I just nibbled. I didn't dig in.
You got that chocolate cake. Chocolate cake and super chocolate.
You got chocolate teeth now.
Oh, this was shown to me yesterday. The guys, I don't know who sent it to us. One, a listener sent us.
Oh, this is awesome.
And, Bubba, a lot of things we've been finding out. We didn't know that you rode motocross.
Right.
We did not know that.
Right.
And
that
some,
was great.
And someone said that they did not know you were a world-class diver.
Well,
you know.
Secret's out now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wow. Man. That is that right there.
That is a splash.
Wow. Got a good tan, too.
That son of a gun. He's got control over
there. There's nothing better than a large person.
Hey, yeah.
He's got all the dives.
He does. That is,
he has incredible control of his body.
I know
it. It really
very
is amazing.
Athletic.
Who is that, Refrigerator Perry?
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, look, Coach Pearl's on the small one. Look.
Look at that diving board. How it's bendy.
Well, yeah, the diving board's got all it can stand.
What do you think he goes?
I think he's probably – I wish I knew how tall he was. If I knew how tall he was, but I bet he probably goes 330.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Easy.
He ain't just saying a little chunky.
That's 350,
I'm saying
Rick, 410. Any day.
No, I don't think he's that. Well, I don't need to know how tall he is.
Yeah.
Look at the splash.
No.
It's like a cow fell in the water.
He's good. Oh, that's impressive, but I'd like to see him do one cannonball. Just one.
Yeah.
I bet he could knock water all
about, way. I mean, his form is unbelievable.
It really is.
Fantastic.
Athletic. Mm,
that's good fantastic stuff.
Was this like an Olympic diver that just like went nuts? Like lost in a close decision and then just went crazy? Yeah,
started with a chocolate cake.
Yes, right. It started with a chocolate cake on a radio show.
Well, I'll tell you.
That is unbelievable.
Well, I will tell you what happens. And I'm not saying that's what happened. He may have been like this his whole life. But in the scenario you're presenting, it's somebody who at one time had this incredible regimen because they were an athlete and they could eat anything they wanted. They were constantly looking for calories. And then they stopped doing the athletic event or sport that they were part of.
Boy, did they.
And they kept eating the way they ate back when they were training for it. I mean, that can happen. That can happen.
I ain't been that impressed that Shamu rung that bell.
That's what it looks like.
Is that your favorite Shamu trick?
Oh, yeah.
You talking about the finale?
I think where he comes up and opens his mouth and lets him brush his teeth with that giant toothbrush is pretty good.
And I like when he gets to hit them laps around that poop. You talking about something we'll never see again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you talking about stuff we used to get to watch?
Now like the only way to see a Shamu do something like that, you got to go some rogue water show somewhere.
Blackfish ended that.
I like when he ragdolls the trainers. That's great.
Oh, that's not very
– it's a good trick. You can only do it once.
That's not very – whatever.
Sorry.
All right. Also, what's happening? I know, Bubba, this probably has affected you. You were probably trying to get tickets to Taylor Swift's Eras tour.
Oh, of course he was.
And people are furious, claiming that Ticketmaster and the whatever they call her followers that are really into it. They're demanding.
What do they call Swifters?
Is that it?
Swifties?
No. Swifties, I think.
You should know. You've been to what? How many?
I've been to one. Greg,
You went to one and couldn't get in.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
I got shut out at the front door because I put my name on a list and then took my name off the list and then went back and so we drove to Atlanta for no reason. But I've been to one concert.
Okay.
And
so you're a Swiftie.
If you think I'm not hearing about this craziness going on with her tickets in my house, you're wrong because. I was on a list. I didn't put myself on this list, but I was on a list waiting for tickets. My wife's email was waiting for tickets, and we didn't get a code. Did y'all get a code?
No.
Okay.
There's no way that I could be drugged to this. But let me ask you this.
I'm not getting one till NSYNC comes around again.
That's right. Taylor Swift would have to. I wouldn't even. The worst thing would be for me to know about it. I would have to not know she had set up in my backyard. I didn't have any idea.
What? Taylor Swift's here.
And I walked up. I'm like, who is this? And they're like, Taylor Swift's about to do a concert.
She left your backyard.
I'm like, well, my goodness. And then at that point, I'd try to back out if I wasn't blocked in.
Right.
But listen. So,
I got to run to the store.
So what I'm saying, see if I have this right. But I do understand she's incredibly popular and has done really well for herself. But. Do I have it right that the old hey we're in some kind of club we get the first shot at the tickets because of our standing with the devotion to Taylor Swift and that didn't happen? Ticketmaster has come back and said, look, the demand for these tickets are so overwhelming,
it crashed their server.
We're not doing that, so everybody's going to have to go after them at the same time. Is that what happened?
Close, but not exactly. But I mean, it doesn't matter. So yes, that's what happened. It doesn't matter.
Can anybody get them?
I mean, there are reselling tickets are being resold right now between, I think they start at like $600 and they go up to tens of thousands of dollars.
But what's everybody mad at? What's everybody mad about?
The pre-sale in which you were supposed to get
there
a code.
Go. That's what I'm talking about.
A lot of those people didn't get them. I think it was only like 10% of the people that registered for a pre-sale code got actually tickets. They had over 2 million tickets sold just in the pre-sale. It's the largest number of requests that Ticketmaster has ever seen.
Right, and they just said, no, we do this
so many of y'all wanted them, we couldn't meet the demand, so we just didn't do it at all. Or we didn't do much of it.
And now the general sale has been canceled, is what I understand.
Well, so.
And then
what?
There's a bunch of people complaining about the monopoly situation with Ticketmaster, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they, I know I saw where fans like you want her to address it.
Don't say fans like you, Rick.
Fans like you.
No, I'm not.
Are you on the list or not?
I'm not the
fan. Are you a Swiftie?
Are you on the list? I'm not a Swiftie. I'm a believer.
Adler
I'm
is
a believer,
a
Greg. I'm a believer, Greg.
Top of the hour. So if people are mad about it, I'm going to tell you that. Top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
Great response so far to the brand new Rick and Bubba CD. It's out. If you love to get hard copies of the CDs every year, I guess there's somewhere around 27 of them now. This is the latest one. The title this year, Where's the Bathroom? Some of the more memorable moments, the ones that you emailed us a lot about saying, hey, that needs to be on the next best of. Grab it at rickandbubba.com until the hard copies are gone. You can also wait. It is in the process of being published in the digital domain for, you know, like iTunes or wherever you get your stuff, Google, wherever. And it should be there, but I don't know when. But it will eventually get there. But if you want a hard copy, and that's your Christmas tradition, and for many of you it is, go grab those now and enjoy those and let us know how you like it. All right, so that's kind of a happy thought. Speedy, if you remember, was telling he'd been telling us that he had this, you know, customer service, which is on, by the way, it's on the new CD.
Yeah.
Not this particular topic, but just customer service in general. Cut 3, CD 2, Surviving Customer Service. And we use that term loosely these days. Speedy's been kind of in a weird place with OnStar. Yeah. He was trying to... it's not going well, is it?
No.
And so I understand yesterday your wife told you not to elevate, and unfortunately she was not successful.
No, she wasn't. And I won't spend too long setting it up. But basically, you get a truck. That's what I did. It comes with some, like, 6-month promotion or something. And then after that, that's when the plan kicks in if you want to, you know, continue their service. Well, so I spoke with them, and I said, I just want the $15 remote access diagnostic report. You know, I've locked my keys. I can remote start it, or you unlock the car for me. That's really all I need. Okay, sir, got it. Well, then the first bill that came in, it was for $40-something. I got the full data plan and all this, right, which is not what I ordered. So I told y'all I was lazy, and Terry was on me. Hey, you need to cancel this and adjust it. So finally, after a couple of months, I did. And this was recently, on November the 1st. So I call them, speak to someone, and I tried to do their, you know, it was tough for me to hear. she said, hey, that's on us. And they were very kind. They said, we'll reimburse you. That's on us. So now you've got the plan that you want. And then I went out to the truck, and it said, I don't have OnStar anymore after that call.
And that's where we left it.
And that's where we left it, right. Well, so then every time I crank the car, it says OnStar not connected. And it's kind of a bip to me. It's constantly there. And so I have to click OK and then move past it.
Teach you to complain.
So Terry and I were in the truck yesterday, and I said, I think now's the time. We got a 20-minute drive. Stupidly, I thought that's all it would take. And I said, let's go for it now. So I hit the little blue button. You know, welcome to OnStar, you know, and then.
Wow. How's it sound?
Welcome to OnStar.
You must have a weird one.
Yeah.
And so then, it's beep, beep, beep. It's trying to connect. It just goes on forever. Sorry, you can't connect OnStar. I'm like, well, that's weird. Try it again. Same thing. Try it again. Same thing. We're almost to where we need to go.
And how does it say welcome to OnStar?
It said
welcome to OnStar.
Okay, I got it.
And,
well, it sounds
so,
broke, man.
Right. And so finally I'm like, I'm looking up their number and calling them. So I call them, and this lady answers. She's like, welcome to OnStar.
Just like that?
About that loud.
You okay. can't get
And
a
I'm
good
said,
voice.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Hey.
Hello.
What's your name?
And I said, it's Calvin.
I didn't realize it was one of the puppets from
yeah,
Mr.
It's
Rogers.
It's like it's John Wilburn.
Right.
Do you have another name?
I'm like, another name? Well, my middle name's Calvin.
That's it.
Okay. And so we go through this very uncomfortable, awkward, socially awkward 2 to 3 minutes. Now we're getting off the exit ramp of where we're going. And she's like,
hit the blue button.
And I said, excuse me? Hit the blue button, she said, twice. Hit it twice. Okay, I've been hitting it once. Hit the blue button, she hangs up. I'm like, gosh, almighty. I'm like, that's it. So then finally she calls back. Hey, we you know, and I'm not going to do the voice. We disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because I hit the blue button.
Do you mind continuing the voice?
Okay.
Yeah.
It puts
Don't
me
you
there.
Come out of it.
It puts okay. me there, yeah. Speedy.
Disconnected. You hit the blue button again.
Right. And well, I'm like, you got to understand, that's what it sounded like, Greg. It was so distant.
It's Coach Johnson's wife.
It is, right.
So I said, okay, I got to turn off Bluetooth because when I hit the your own Bluetooth, when I hit the OnStar, it's knocking you off.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And I'm like, okay. So I do that. And so then I hit the blue button and it just rings.
Boop, boop. Have they answered?
No, ma'am. They have not answered. Terry. Keep your calm. Don't get upset with him.
Nice.
I'm trying not to,
waste
honey.
Time.
So, well,
sir, you need technical support.
I said technical support. Well, now we're here. I don't have time for that. How long will it take?
About 5 minutes.
Yeah, I said 5 minutes.
And in my mind,
I'm thinking if I could talk to anybody but you, because I can't understand you, right. That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
So I'm like, well, let's just go forward. I don't feel like going through it again.
Oh, please.
So I hold. Right, I'm holding. Keep hitting the blue button, she says. Beep, beep. Nothing.
I bet you wore
So finally,
that blue
a guy
now.
Comes on. He goes, "Little welcome down there," and I'm like, "Hey,
Draco's dancing."
Well, you got the worst.
And this is awful.
It'd be dry.
And I said, "She said," and he said,
"No, that one's Draco."
Is this Calvin Reuben?
And I'm like, "Yes, it is Calvin Reuben." Is what kind of what it sounded like?
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah." So we go through this weird thing. He goes, "Do you see a green light?" And I'm like, "A green light." No, there is no green light. Now I'm looking up at the blue little logo, and no, it's not green. Oh, it's green when I hit it. It's flashing green. Uh-oh. And I'm like,
uh-oh. He said, uh-oh.
Yes.
He literally like said, uh-oh.
He said, uh-oh. And I said, uh-oh.
You don't want to hear that from this guy, your dentist, or your doctor.
No.
You have a bad module.
I'm what? And I mean, it's awful.
He's like, you have a bad module. The hardware is going bad.
Whatever. And I'm like, what? Why? How's that happen? And he's like,
you got to take it to a dealership.
Oh.
And I'm like, no. Whoa.
You go to that world. You'll never get out.
And I'm like, no. So now I'm losing it. Now I'm elevating.
Yeah,
and Terry keeps tapping me on the leg. Calm down.
Right.
Stay calm.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm trying to stay calm. And I said, well, is this covered?
It's out of pocket.
And I'm like, it's out of pocket? What do you mean? I said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me I parked the truck at work. Everything's fine. I walk into work. I cancel what I had because y'all signed me up on the wrong plan. And I just want to go to the $15 plan. Y'all go through that process and you say that's done. I get back in the truck. And it says OnStar doesn't work. You mean to tell me my bad module happened while I was in the – it seems like the call is what caused this, when y'all adjusted my plan or something.
And then what he said,
I'm sorry you feel that way.
I said, well, see, that's not the way I feel. That's what happened.
Right.
Yeah. So this is – I tried your word. This is unacceptable.
You tried?
I did.
Unreasonable.
Unreasonable.
That's the wrong word.
Yeah, it's not unacceptable.
That's why you didn't get it fixed. Wrong word.
He said unacceptable.
Unacceptable elevates. Yeah. Unreasonable takes down.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry you feel this way and you're having a tough time with it.
And I'm like, well, yeah, I am too,
keep
sir. So you mean to tell me that it's just a coincidence that I was in the office, I canceled,
so what happens when you
adjust plans, get back in the truck, I get a message saying it doesn't work, and now my little green light's not it's not lit.
You shouldn't have been so cheap.
Well, no.
You should have stuck to the other plan.
If you'd have paid us the $50, it wouldn't have happened.
Alligator so, arms.
And so, we hate the $15 plan.
I said, so he said,
so I'm sorry, I cannot do anything else for you to do.
And I'm like, you
so
can't.
So Healy Boy got involved.
I'm like, you can't do anything else for me today. This is it?
Right.
This is it?
So bad.
This is unbelievable.
I can't believe that no one cares.
And to that, now Terry's getting out of the car. We're parked. She's like, I can't get in. I can't be in here because she's elevating. Yeah. I'm elevating.
It's terrible.
And I said, I've never in my life tried so hard for somebody to take my money and they won't do it. I'm like, I'm done.
Were you stuck in the dealership? Do you want me to connect you now?
And I'm like, no. Hell no. You know? I'm like, no. I'm out. I'm said out. And so I disconnected the app from the car. I'm done.
They're going to keep charging you, though.
I'm done. Yeah. Well, no, because now it says that I don't even exist. They don't even. Well, it's like my truck isn't even part of the total part of the equation.
It'll be an automatic charge. Just
well,
like.
Apparently it's not connecting because I got a bad module,
but I can get your credit card.
The $15 plan is a bad module.
Yeah.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Musk and his little Twitter employees are having fun so far, aren't they?
Yeah. Twitter owner Elon Musk's latest attempt to streamline his new social media company has been met with yet more wailing and gnashing of teeth from disapproving liberals on Twitter. Early Wednesday morning, the world's richest man and newly installed Twitter CEO emailed the site's employees with an ultimatum, obligating them to commit to an extremely hardcore work ethic or leave the company. Now, this was part of it, Rick, was he cut back on their free lunches.
Correct.
He actually wants them to come to the office.
Right.
And
not
work.
Not stay home.
And let's see, what was the other demand there? Dinesh was having a little fun with it a minute ago on Twitter.
They can't. They should be able to dog him and rip him to shreds publicly and have no consequences.
Right.
You ever dogged your boss publicly and nothing happened?
No. He said in the email that he sent to everybody, he said, going forward to build a breakthrough Twitter 2.0 and succeed in an increasingly competitive world, we will need to be extremely hardcore. This will mean working long hours at high intensity. Only exceptional performance will constitute a passing grade. And, oh, Rick, they lost their mind on that one. They are just losing their mind. So a lot of them, they were supposed to check a box if they were going to come back and go to work under these new conditions. And they're saying now maybe 75% of the company did not check that box. So Elon has locked the doors on the company so they can't get in and sabotage it.
There you go.
So that's the latest today.
So, yeah, maybe the reason that the lunch that the company was providing for you was done away with it's because it was, what would you say the budget they'd been given was $400?
That's what we read. There were several stories that they had $400 a meal.
So
it's a lot of money.
And I know
that's crazy. It doesn't make sense.
What's wrong with a good sandwich?
Yeah, I know. I always expect to, you know, my company to serve me, you know, lunch and everything. And I mean, your company can do that if it's doing really well.
Yeah.
But if you're losing money and
but
there's going to be
$400, how do you eat that much?
No.
I think it was actually when they looked back over the pandemic, what they were spending to feed their employees, and then the meals that were actually eaten,
right,
it ended up being around $400 per meal that they already spent.
Right.
Yeah. So he was like, oh, "We're done with that."
Yeah. I'm scrolling through Elon's Twitter feed here. I love this. Okay, and he's a guy that'll admit when he's wrong. He evidently fired two employees. And he thought he could live without them. And so he sent this out a couple of days ago, said, important to admit when I'm wrong, and firing them was truly one of my biggest mistakes. And he's got a picture welcoming them back, and he's arm in arm with them, just hugs. So stuff like that, nobody does that.
No. But
that's are you talking about this picture, Helms?
Ligma and Johnson?
Well, you just said it.
Yeah. Yeah, that those were the paid actors that came out.
Oh.
Yeah, they came out.
And I just said it too, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah, sure did. Word for
sure
word.
Sure did.
Greg still hadn't got it, which is amazing. It.
They duped the media when they came out. They were acting like they were upset that they got fired. And
okay.
Just said,
And I just said it right now.
And so you seen this other employee.
It's so going great. Don't
you,
add to it. Okay,
that's enough. Day, I know that.
I've said enough.
And you know your point. He's going along with it.
Yeah. Helms, you said it so clearly.
Yeah, very clear.
Didn't stumble.
A lot of people are wondering right now what it means. They
nobody
don't know.
Was talking. You know. I know. I only knew it was great.
They don't. They don't realize that it's.
It's got Rick down.
Hey, really? Listen, women and children, right now. Don't be googling that.
No, that was heartwarming story.
Hey, don't be
very touching.
Googling
most
later.
People won't do that.
Kids, y'all are in school. Security features will bounce right up there in front of you if you start Googling those names.
So these guys tricked a lot of networks.
They tricked me.
And they tricked
they're walking along the sidewalk just with a box in their hands, and they get on interviews, and they got on TV.
And they weren't even real.
And so Elon is going along with it, to your point, Helms.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Let me tell you something.
What were their names?
It's wacky times
at Twitter. For it. He fell for it as well.
Hey, it's
here they are.
Hey, it's wacky times at Twitter.
As Ham said, it was very touching.
Yeah, very touching.
Wacky times at Twitter.
Yeah.
Now, who was it?
Well, Greg, let's not go there again.
No, let me tell you what's
just
funny.
Just couldn't have said
what?
Any.
Let me tell you what happened. We're not going to go with this.
I just want to tell you the funny thing.
I'm just trying to tell you the funny thing about Greg. So Greg was done. All you think about is Hoover
sleeping.
Yeah. I got nothing to do with it.
He's been on Thompson game for the last hour.
Have you ever seen that? Like when a dog goes in the corner and lays down, you say, well, he's out now.
And
all of a sudden, Greg started getting wind what had happened. And I watched him rise from the dead.
His color came back.
Oh, for sure. Look, he came alive. He realized he had seen you.
When I heard him go the name. For a while, all you thought was, do I have enough clothes tonight?
This is what I saw. Greg's over. And all of a sudden, he goes. he shut his computer and he's like, wait a minute, I got to get in this.
I just heard Ligma.
All right. Greg. Okay, buddy.
All right. But anyway, back to the original story.
That's awful.
No, well, don't. Please.
Yes, do.
Can you imagine taking over a company like this where these people have been spoiled? Like, I mean, are they living in a fake world? This is not the real world of work.
There was a guy on MSNBC a few minutes ago, and he was talking about it. Not those names of the guys that got fired, but
sure.
He said, look, Elon has to purge this company of the woke crowd because he's basically going to have to tear it down the foundation, start over, and that's what you're seeing.
Right, so. Exactly.
He listen, like every time the media and a lot of the liberals would love to point out that Elon is out of control or he's bit off more than he can chew or you know whatever the case might be, but he's really one step ahead every time. Right. Just like with this joke.
Yeah.
I mean, he
you mean that wasn't real?
Now, what were their names again?
No.
Here it is.
Yeah. But look, let's hear the video.
Greg's got a second wind like no other.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. It's like somebody gave him an IV.
It's like Monday morning and the Thompson game's already behind
him. Let me just tell you. Because Helms loves a good story.
Oh, I do.
When
I'm
things
heart,
turn
like
out
heart-warming
well.
Stuff.
When he thought he had one.
Yeah.
look, he's back. Look, he's back fully engaged.
Sorry, y'all. I got a little sleepy for a minute.
No. Long week, Greg. You do a lot of driving.
I know, man.
Look, Greg, what brought you back? It's almost like a cup of coffee or something like that.
Yeah. I mean,
because you see, Rick, most people ain't going to do that.
See, now he's recapping it. Now he's in the recap mode.
He'll relive it for us in the office.
Rick, I heard, that's kind of a good story. Then I saw which way it was breaking.
I literally saw Greg push that down.
The dinosaur's coming to life. All right, I'm unfollowing Elon. There it is.
That's it. He got
I'm done.
It's like a Komodo dragon sense. There was something to eat around.
Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right. Also, let's hear it because I want to hear it. Nancy Pelosi, 82, steps down as Democratic leader after 19 years. Listen, the crowd goes wild. Here's an audio clip.
I wish they had tore her speech up behind her.
No.
Scripture teaches us that for everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. My friends, no matter what title you all, my colleagues, have bestowed upon me, Speaker, Leader, Whip, there is no greater official honor for me than to stand on this floor and to speak for the people of San Francisco. This I will continue to do as a member of the House, speaking for the people of San Francisco, serving the great state of California and defending our Constitution.
Really?
And with great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress. For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect.
You're about 20 years behind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what year she was elected, Rick, in a special election? 1987. She has been there since 87.
Good night. That was one heck of a season. She's talking about everything.
Yeah.
That's a long one.
Did y'all pick up the shot she took at Trump, too, that I heard?
Sure.
Hams, did you hear about it? She said that she served three great presidents.
Okay.
She actually served four.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Left one out.
Oh, wow.
Or she's so old she just don't remember.
Yeah, that's true.
She
the
can't
word.
Count. Glad to see her gone. There you go. Thanks for being with us. And if you're leaving us, have a great weekend. You got more Rick and Bubba. Stick around.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.